We had some fun games. We had Pacers edging out the Suns, Pistons making a bit of a run against the Wolves, Memphis with some back-to-back duds, and you told him to sit out and go home and suspend his ass, and you lost by 40. That's how it goes.
It would have lost by 50 if he played.
So just some highlights of the week. We'll start off with the Jokic-Wemby matchup. Did you get around to watching that?
Yeah, I watched both.
What a set of games.
One in Denver, one in San Antonio on a back-to-back night is pretty crazy, especially for both guys with how much they play. First game, you know, Wemby was dominant. It was an insane game by him. It's amazing.
I texted you guys. I think he's top six. I don't think it's a question.
I don't know if I'm there just yet. If I were to come out with an MVP or something like that, I mean, geez, you know, he is super, super valuable. Right? Like, he is winning Spurs games. Even when the Spurs were kind of like unsure what they had and unsure if they were winning anything, Wemby is just willing them to win. He's broken out his performances with, you know, against the Knicks, you know, in the biggest games against the biggest players, right? We look at Kat and how well he's playing. We look at Jokic and how well he's playing. And Wemby's kind of saying like, hey, put me in there, you know, like I am arrived.
Yeah.
And you know, he's turning a franchise that's been super beat for the last 7-8 years, maybe 10-12 years, into something that's back, you know. And it's super fun to see, kind of, you know. I don't know if you got to watch the beginning of the Spurs game today, the one versus the Nuggets, but
I did.
This thing where at the beginning of the game, how they introduce the players, it's the lights turn off. And then it's just black and white on the mega, like the Jumbotron. And they play like this music and they play these highlights and it's all in black and white. And it is so cool because there's like black lit, like the lights go up, but it's still like black light. And they come out and they walk out and it is so cool. Their system, the way they entertain both the people at home, like me watching from Denver, and the people I'm sure going to a San Antonio Spurs game, is super, super fun when you have a player like that, of that mm-hmm. caliber. And you mm-hmm. just start to care, like your whole organization starts to care more when you have a player that's willing your team to win basketball games, and he's a megastar.
Yeah. 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 I do think he's that guy already. I was watching some of the stuff he was doing. He takes some bad shots, but they go in. So I don't know. He feels like a dude who's like not comfortable in his own skin yet. But visually, this sounds crass. He looks like it. Like he looks like he's a top player already. And so I get it. He's underdeveloped. He's, you know, he's still figuring out his limitations. He still looks a little bit like, I don't know if it's laziness. Almost like. I mean, I know he can get to that. I know he has the speed. I know he has the burst to get that closeout, and it's very lethargic, you know, stepping into closeout, or even some of the chase downs. Like some of the chase downs he has that are epic, he wants them. You know, he's that guy who thirsts for those blocks, and so he's doing his best to close them out. And so you know he's capable of it, but I don't know. I think he just needs to do it on a more consistent basis. Maybe his conditioning's not there yet, and.
Totally.
And that'll
totally.
Come around.
He does sometimes feel like he fouls out of laziness. And also definitely, you know, 12 turnovers across the two games when they played against Denver. You know, 8 turnovers last night, another 4 tonight. You know, that's a part of his game that he's just going to have to clean up for them to be ultra successful. It's like, yeah, if you're bouncing the ball 6 feet off the ground, you know, people are going to reach in and take that thing.
It's reps. It's a reps thing. He just doesn't have reps in a game against these athletes at this level. And I know he's been around for a year, but.
And maybe it's a French thing, because I saw Rudy Gobert do it 3 times in a row as well. But like when Wemby and Rudy Gobert have the ball in the paint and they're kind of like going under and up for a layup, but they decide to kick it to the corner, that thing gets picked off all the time.
Yeah, it's very, very telegraphed.
Everybody, put it over the player. Or if you can't finesse the pass, don't do it.
Maybe it's a French thing. Rudy Gobert. Maybe Gobert just...
Rudy Gobert!
Maybe he just sucks ass, dude. Maybe that's
it. He tried to find Jaden McDaniels twice in a row, and they picked it off twice.
He's
and it's
so
like,
bad.
Dude, like, yeah, of course Asar Thompson's going to grab that thing. Like, What do you expect? Like,
good to see him back out on the court.
Good to see him back out on the court. He's a good player, and it's good to see him like hyped during the halftime speech as well. You know, when they're interviewing him, they could have interviewed Cade. Probably would have been more effective. You know, like Cade is the leader of the team, and he was balling out. But they chose Ausar Thompson, and he was happy.
Cade's the leader of the team, putting in work last couple years, worst record in the league. Shouts to Cade.
Been through the mud, that's for sure.
Stuff,
I mean,
bro.
But it's, I think we've talked about like, okay, is Cade a winning player? Is the way that he plays winning basketball? And he's quickly starting to turn his brand for me. I think he's great. I think he's so good. And I think he's happy to play. He's more confident. And I think you can see it with the energy with the guys around him. And then obviously that Ivy injury was the worst thing that could possibly happen right now. You know, it's rare that you see stretchers on a basketball court. You know, you hate to see like one of your most talented up and coming players, you know, kind of go through that. But you know, they're pushing through. They got a good little squad. You know, I'm not ready to take them seriously yet, but
yeah,
they're putting the pieces in place. And yeah, like why not them? You know, why can they not, you know, make a play in playoff?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good to see them, and I don't know what to make of that team. I know they've sort of bounced back a little bit, but it feels like they have the sort of requisite talent required to not be a garbage team. You know, like they're sort of pity team, like maybe early Kings with this iteration of their core. You know, pushing, are they in the play-in? Are they not? You know. Which is still sad for a East team that I'm being told is not the East we thought they were to start the year. Like, bro, stop. Like, 95% of the talent's in the West, and I'm having to listen to how the East is not of the ass we thought they were, and not in a good way.
It's been a brutal week for the West teams.
We saw
the Wolves get boat raced. We saw the Rockets get boat raced. We saw the, I get it. You know, you got OKC, who is crazy team right now. You have the Rockets, who are, I think, like kind of faking everybody out a little bit.
You think so? Yeah. Let's get into that. I know you wanted a tease. Hey, we had a little bit of a teaser with the C's versus Rockets, right? We thought we'd have a game on our hands, and we had a joke.
Yeah, exactly. And it was weird because the Celtics were on the back-to-back, and it really looked like the Rockets were on the back-to-back. And obviously, no Jabari, broke his hand, you know.
That's a bummer.
And warm-up, which is
a
bummer. You had no Amen Thompson, which is actually in a matchup like that. Like, sticking Amen Thompson on somebody like Jason Tatum, I know would give him issues. But on the other side, you had no Jaylen Brown, you know, like... I mean, Drew Holiday kind of stepped into that role pretty nicely. Derek White is pretty good.
The Celtics are a big mix and match squad, though. I mean, and I'm not trying to pretend that Sam Hauser's Jaylen Brown, but they have an identity. The identity's not built on any single person. And so you can really just sort of plug and play with some of these guys. And so long as their replacement value is close, you're going to have a fairly respectable squad still. So
yeah.
I do think that the out hurt the Rockets more. Even though Jaylen Brown's the better player, just because of what it means to how the Rockets come and understand their identity. I will say they can't shoot the ball, and this isn't a new revelation.
Rockets, no.
Yeah, I think that you can just rock fight someone to death in the playoffs.
That's clearly their goal.
And I don't know how they're going to put up points. And so I guess Amen would have worked, right? He would have helped him out, but. They couldn't shoot, so I don't really know how he would have helped them out yesterday.
Totally. I mean, what's awesome about Amen is that he's not one of the Jalen Greeds, Fred VanVleet's, Jayshon Tate's, or you know, what have you, that think they can just put up shots whenever they want, and they have just a clear green light when that's not who they are. I mean, we saw it a little bit in like the NBA Cup game, where when it slows down, the OKC was not getting good shots against them, you know? And OKC is one of the premier teams in the league, you know, a team that we expect to go far, if not make the finals, if not win the finals. So, you know, kind of as we're taking a look at them,
I do not expect that. I'm with Verno. There's no way a young team like that does.
You're taking the Grizz?
No, but I'm not taking the Thunder.
Are you going to take the Wolves? You're going to take the Mavs?
Oh, dude, I don't think I'm taking that.
Takes, so you taking the Nuggets? Who's left? The Spurs? The Lakers? The Clippers? Who are you confident in the West? Because I remember, the talent's in the West, so...
Well, the all-star talents in the West, right? I mean, you know, you can't name a single guy off 12 through 15 in the East. Who do the Bulls have? Who do the Pacers have? I mean, there's a collection of talent on some of these teams.
Better watch the Halley disrespect. He's been cooking lately. He's been good again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't look at anybody on the Rockets and I'm like, hey, you're a premier one and on a title-winning team. Like, Şengün is probably a good two. You know?
Dude, I will say, I am worried for the Suns. Lost to the Blazers. Really quickly sliding away from that middle of the pack in the 10 seed, which is right now totally. The Wolves. And I have not gotten around to watching them a bunch. What's going on with them?
Yeah, so it feels like a revolving door with their top three. Yusuf Nurkic is out. It's well documented. There is no big talent that they have. Like, everybody has a big that can guard other bigs. Mason Plumlee and Yusuf Nurkic are getting dogged on by Jokic, Zubats, you know, Şengün, any big, Sabonis even, you know, AD. These are dominant bigs, both on the offensive and then sometimes defensive side as well. You know, it's the reason Rudy Gobert got a contract. They look at the West and they say, okay, who's the best in the West? You know, we got a bunch of bigs. And then how do we get a guy that can, you know, mark up somebody like Shea, and you just get Jaden McDaniels and do your best.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, like, it's so clear, right? If you don't have a big that can that can handle the defensive side, like we saw with the Celtics and the Rockets, not to get back to them again, but they put up Keita and Porzingis, or Porzingis and Kornet, or Kornet and Keita, and they dominated. Everybody on the court knew mismatch, mismatch, mismatch. I know you have no Jabari, but still, like, Şengün was getting torched on the defensive side of the ball. And it's going to be different with Jokic, because Jokic is bigger. He's a little bit better at the rim protection side of things than somebody like Şengün. But, you know, going back to the Suns, you know, it's no secret, you know, it's like the Lakers against guards, right? Like, Lakers playing guards, like, hey, you know, you're putting up some points.
Yep. Yep.
Bigs against the Suns, no, they're putting up some points. KD's not playing the five. He's too old and he's not big enough, you know, for the physical play now.
Yeah, it's like die by one thing for all these other squads, and the Suns just feel like it's die by everything because they're not defending any position.
And they don't, yeah, exactly. Like, Tyus Jones is not a good defender. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker is not a great defender.
Yeah, KD's been serviceable when he's a supportive piece in the defense.
And Bradley Beal's too small to guard the two or three, you know, and he's never really been that great defender. So like, you take a look at everything and it's like, okay, not only are we not scoring enough because we got Bradley Beal to get in here and score 23, 24 points a game and he's doing 17, 18. Mm-hmm. We got Devin Booker and Kevin Durant who always are going to cook on the offensive side. That's never going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. But your surrounding pieces aren't good enough.
Yeah.
Like, Tyus Jones is a good player for what he does, but that's not what the Suns need.
Yeah.
Devin Booker should be playing point guard. Bradley Beal should be playing shooting guard. You need a good three like a Cam Johnson or Mikal Bridges. Ironic that they get rid of them for the KD trade. And then you have Kevin Durant playing the four, and then you get a big good five that can at least defend. You get a Rudy Gobert type. You don't need them to do anything offensively. Yusuf Nurkic is really, like, his niche in the league is being able to get some, you know, solid points inside and, you know, kind of just like float around and not really, like, if you have Yusuf Nurkic in the paint against a center, he's probably getting cooked. You know, he's a help guy. He's not a ball stopper. He's not a one-on-one guy. He's not a great on-ball defender. So, you know, you take a look at how the team's constructed and you're like, okay, yeah, like, you went out and you spent hundreds of millions of dollars for these players, but, like, what did it get you? You're in the second apron and this is what it's going to look like? Like, is that what you planned on?
Yeah.
But, like, how did you not see this coming?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, kind of, you did it to yourself, you know?
You know what? This is kind of what it feels like for the Nuggets. Obviously, they're, you know, they're one of the sort of garbage franchises in the league. They don't spend money, but they feel like they're in the same situation. I can't forget this. I was watching the start of the game yesterday, so not to date ourselves, but this was game one against Victor and Spurs. And, you know, I'm watching the start of the game, and Christian Brown,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's what it is. He blows two bunnies to start the game. It's like, what are we doing? It's the level of execution that comes when you have a talent disparity and a significant talent gap.
Totally.
And for certain teams, for certain players, when you're relying on a percentage of your rotation that has this gap, you're not going to be able to make up the difference with your stars. It is what it is. It's simply a game of numbers. It's a game of math. You know, if you attribute a level of, you know, if you think of the game like offensive ISO scoring, offensive team scoring, defensive ISO defense, like one-on-one defense, team defense. If you contribute in all four of these different areas and you're contributing in a half of one or, you know, whatever, and you give someone a cumulative score, if you give them a point or a half a point or whatever, however you want, you can go down to a quarter of a point for each of the different areas they fill. And you take those four, each player on the court can have 1 point or a total of 4 points if they fill all the boxes. You go get your score up to 20. If your score is not above 15, this is all made up and hypothetical. This doesn't have to mean, I'm not saying something specific, but if your score doesn't add up to, let's call it 15, you know, I'm sure if we crunch the numbers, you could really see where is that sort of fine line between a team that can make the finals, can make a deep run in the playoffs and can't. Let's call it 15 for the sake of this hypothetical. If you're not there, you're not going. I don't care how good Jokic is. I don't care if he's dropping 46-point triple-doubles. It doesn't matter. Your team is not qualified or capable of reaching the level that you expect out of a team like this. And that is emblematic of somebody like Christian Brown that we saw yesterday, where their replacement level players are just not cutting it. And, absolutely. You know, we saw Bruce Brown walk out the door. We saw KCP walk out the door. And these are easy things to point at and be like, well, you look at who you let go. Why do you expect to be in this position? But it's a little bit more complicated than that. Finances play a role. You do think some of these players can develop, but they're and some players do develop it, but it takes them a year. Some players, it takes them a decade to develop. Totally. It's this level of like sort of sound mind, you know, veteran skill, like, and some players, to be fair, don't ever develop it. But the Nuggets are simply currently relying on players to fill these areas on the floor, and they just don't have the numbers for it.
No matter how
you slice the rotation.
100%. And the biggest thing and the most major concerning factor right now is that you have Christian Brown playing the three with Russell Westbrook and Jamal Murray starting. And Aaron Gordon needs to be playing the four. And he's been out. You know, mm-hmm. I get it. But the talent disparity there, if you go from Aaron Gordon playing the four and Michael Porter playing the three instead of Christian Brown playing the three and Michael Porter playing the four, that talent disparity is like, not only does Christian Brown, you know, completely bring down that, like, probably under 15, I would say, easily, right? Just for, you know, the one-on-one of Aaron Gordon and Christian Brown. I mean, he missed two crunch time free throws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's just, man, like, dude, this guy just can't, like, it's not, this is, he's not made for this level of what they need him for.
Yeah.
And then you also have MPJ playing the four, and he's not good enough to play the four. He's a good three, you know? And then you're asking him to get a little bit into some creation stuff, and that's just not who he is, right?
Yeah.
You're looking for him to dribble and step into, you know, like creation threes rather than just catch and shoot or, you know, like come around the screen and knock him down. You know, he still does that, but his role is not anything outside of that. I feel like that's been one of the things that the Nuggets are kind of looking at, like, hey, we need that because, you know, Russ isn't knocking down shots. You know, like, we all know that. You know, Russ's talent is getting to the rim, getting fouled, or getting to the rim, dunking, laying up, or creating for Jokic, right? Like, there's nothing outside of that that he should be doing.
I know.
And Jamal Murray just hasn't been...
he's taking shots to close, like, he took a shot yesterday to close the half. It's like, what are we doing, dude? You are 30% field goal shooter. Like, what are we doing?
And the tough part is that once a month, he'll get super hot and shoot 80%. Like, I went to a Knicks game versus the Nuggets, and Russell Westbrook could not miss from three, from two. He was cooking them inside and out, and it was against their starters. And that gave him the confidence the next two games to put up whatever the hell he wanted. And guess what happened? He did not shoot well. You know, he's an indication of like, if I'm feeling it, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
And if I'm not feeling it, I'm taking it just to see if I could start feeling it. And that's just like not the way. That's just not the way you want to have a guy, you know, leading your team, right? Like, it's hilarious, you know.
And, it's so neat.
It feels like every single team kind of has a player like that a little bit. I mean, you just look at, you look around the league and you take a look at like Caris LeVert or.
But at least some of these guys can like catch a little bit of fire, dude. Oh, totally, Russ is brutal.
And that's where you see Sixth Man of the Year arise and all these guys. But Russ still thinks like, hey, I'm a good one or two on any team. Still can, and I can still make this happen.
And the problem isn't Russ's effort or his energy. Like, I'm okay with you doing this at a 45%. Like if these you know, baskets or shots created or whatever are converting at around a 40-45%, somewhere in between their level, right? Whether he's kicking it out for a three or he's finishing at the rim, I'm okay with that. In theory, it's actually what he's bringing down. What could be being done instead? What could be being done is you could hand it to the three-time MVP for facilitation,
the best player in the league. Yeah.
And so it's right. Like, it's not just that he's inefficient. It's that it's what he's taking away from what the team could be doing. And that's sort of a byproduct of him having the ball in his hands a lot. It's kind of what we're seeing with LeBron, where like what LeBron is additive on the offensive end in terms of carrying an offense. Okay, well, what he's better at carrying an offense than D'Lo by 15%. You know, LeBron's a 95. D'Lo could be an 80. If LeBron wasn't on the floor and there was another shooter there, you know, like a normal right. five-out offense, D'Lo could run the show a little bit. I mean, we're seeing it in Brooklyn.
Totally.
So LeBron's giving you that extra, and I don't mean to confuse everyone and work in these sort of margins, but we kind of have to in the NBA. We have to say like, okay, this person is this much better than this person at this specific totally. Role. So if LeBron's 15% more additive than someone like D'Lo on the offensive end, well, is LeBron doing all the other things? And D'Lo's a terrible example because he's dog shit at all the other areas that LeBron is too. But, you know, if D'Lo was playing team defense, if he was playing strong one-on-one defense, like if he was competent in these areas, well, who cares if he's got a 15% reduction and, you know, sort of the ISO setup, like he can actually do some of these other things for the team that LeBron's literally a no-show on. So, all right. Any external thoughts or outstanding thoughts on that? Or should we jump on over into some trades?
Yeah. I mean, last thing, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the Nuggets locker room. Like is Malone telling Russ like, hey, take the stress off of Jokic. And he's just thinking like, okay, I just got the keys now. Let's get it. It's, you know, it's the Wizards all over again. Let's make it happen.
Who knows what he's saying?
Or is it kind of like...
Who knows if he's listening, if he is saying something.
Right? Yeah, true. True. I mean, from what I hear and from what's kind of been circulating is like everywhere Russ goes, he's loved by the coaches and by the players.
Yep.
And by the fans, you know? And I can tell you, like, Ball Arena erupted when Russell Westbrook was hitting those shots, even though the game was over. You know, they were down 35 points, you know, and he was bringing them back to 20, you know, and it's awesome. It's so fun. But
CP cuts it to 63.
42, down 42. But like, it's so fun because it's just like an entertaining, fun brand of basketball, and it gives us a time to reminisce. And it's like, yeah, you know, we have LeBron hitting those fadeaways, you know, in the mid range on the baseline, and we have him, you know, sidestepping threes. But it's kind of like, man, like sometimes it can get, for me at least, like, man, like LeBron's otherworldly. Like that's cool for LeBron, but when I see Russell Westbrook do it, I'm like, oh man, like this is refreshing a little bit. You know, this is an older guy who still wants to dominate, who still's got the clear fire and passion. And I don't know if did you watch him? Were you watching him talk with Wemby?
No,
that was hilarious. So Wemby gets fouled by Russ. On like a little and one, and you know, Wemby just completely sunned him, just little broed him, and it was a good foul from Russell Westbrook, and they started chirping at each other, and Russ still has that like
he got that dog in him,
you know, yeah. But it's so rare that you see that anymore because the Pat Bevs are playing abroad, you know, and I'm trying to think of like the Yappers back then. Who are the ultimate shit talkers? Like you don't really see that anymore. You just see him dap up, hey, good to see you. Pleasure doing business with you. I'll take my 100 mil contract over here. I don't need to get into anything else. And you know, Russ still has that passion for, you know, what he does. It's so fun for fans to see that because that's what you want to see from all of your guys. You want your guys to care about every single game the way Russ does. And I love that. I love that so much. Even though, you know, for all his shortcomings, I hope, like, just being a teammate, like, I am a teammate on my teams that I play on, right? Whether it's pickup basketball, whether it's soccer, whether it's, you know, even in business, you know, having that one guy in the office or on the court or on the field or anything can really elevate and drive your own, you know, process forward, you know, and those guys are super important. And it's no wonder that he's stayed in this league this long. It's because not a lot of guys do that. I cannot think of one guy around the league that elevates just on like a passion standpoint the way he does.
But, yeah, that's a good point. You know, yeah.
You know, he still has his, you know, he's not a knockdown shooter. You know, he's not the most well-refined. He never will be. He never has been. But it's, you know, it's one last hurrah. Maybe not even one last. Maybe he's on a different team next year. He's playing until he's 50. And he's just like, F everybody. I'm playing until I'm 95.
All right. So we just got through hearing about guys you love. Let's get into your not-so-favorite player in the league. Let's talk about some trades that might be brewing. So last 2 weeks ago, we heard some rumors. We heard maybe Jimmy's on the move. We heard he's not contending in Miami. And where's his destination going to be? Well, this was 2 weeks ago, right? Or multiple weeks ago. And and so there was some back and forth in the media and calling out of agents and this or that for things
Pat
said.
Pat Riley
comes in and says, hold it right here. No offers.
He's going nowhere.
I've sniffed out all the dog shit, and he will not be leaving our team for that.
Bro didn't like the 2 seconds that were getting offered.
Yeah, literally. So, Saga updates last week. He's not going anywhere. Well, all of a sudden, Jimmy gives a press conference, said some not so nice. I thought it was a pretty transparent press conference.
I was actually pretty impressed with kind of the way he communicated, like, hey, I'm not having fun, and I want to have fun. I like my situation, but I don't like playing basketball right now, you know? And you know, it's really easy to do that when your team sucks and you're a part of a team that sucks, and you're a big reason. Everybody's looking to you. Why does the team suck? Why aren't you guys better? And it's like, dude, you're supposed to be the guy that came out here and made it better.
A couple things. I'll finish the timeline here. So he comes out, he gives a press conference. The press conference is basically about how he doesn't, like you said, you articulated it well. He doesn't have joy playing basketball. He doesn't have joy playing here. He doesn't know if he can rejuvenate that joy playing here. And so he's essentially saying, move on from me. Let's find a new partner for yourself, a new partner for me. And he don't like that, right? Mr. Pat, my way or the highway. Yeah, comes in and says, you're suspended. That violates our team protocols, blah, blah, blah. So they suspend Jimmy. Now it seems like Jimmy's getting moved, and Pat Riley's pretty adamant that they will not be moving forward with Jimmy. So
it's just too goat.
Here we are. Yeah, removed from the trade. I can already tell your tone's a little different. You must have heard some good content about Jimmy in this today. So you're not as tense about Jimmy, and maybe the blame's not so much on him as much anymore, or solely on him. Okay, so that's the foundation. Jimmy's getting moved. We know he's getting moved. How did this come about? How did we find ourselves in this situation? Whose fault is this? Whose fault is it that it's gotten out of hand and into the media? And what are the proceedings to resolve this?
Yeah, I mean, first things first, like, history repeats itself. You know, we've seen this with these types of players that are super outspoken. Sometimes you associate ego or, like, you know, Jimmy's one of those guys where you can say, on like the good side, it's like incredible confidence, belief in myself. And on the other side, you can say ego and full of himself and arrogant and asshole, right? And you kind of say that about most of the star players that are just like, we call them dogs, right? Like, oh man, they got that dog, and you know, and you kind of see that with Anthony Edwards right now, right? Like, you know, what kind of dog is, but I mean, like, right now,
perro.
Right now is like surrounding Jimmy Butler. It happens all the time, right? It happens like once. It's pretty formulaic. 2 to 3 years. I mean, this was a little bit longer of a stint with the Heat, but like, it's super dramatic right now. And then the first year he goes somewhere else, it's going to be so cool for about 7 months. And then it's going to die out a little bit. And then we're going to go back to like, okay, you know, that was fun, Jimmy. Thanks for the ride. You know, it was really cool. And it's just, we just get into the system until the career is over. And at what point is he like, okay, like, you know, I thought it was going to be with the Heat where it was kind of like, hey, you know, this is my long-term. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like you think about Heat culture and then you pair that with Jimmy Butler and you're like, wow, like if these two can be a happy pairing, this is awesome. Right. And it's kind of just like going back to that girlfriend that cheated on you, you know, it's like, hey, but she's changed now, you know, we're perfect for each other. And that's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's the girlfriend, you know, like he did it with the Wolves. He did it with the Sixers. He did it with the Bulls, you know, and now he's doing it with the Heat. It's like, man, am I stupid for not seeing this coming? Or is this just not his fault? Was he tricked into doing this? Was he just not in the right situation to begin with? I mean, obviously he was, you know, they made the finals. You know, at what one point, you know, he looked like a top five guy in the league. And now He looks like nothing. You know, it reminds me a little bit of like the Kawhi stuff where it's like, I won't play. Or when I do play, you're not going to like it. And when, you know, when I enjoy playing, it's awesome. And when I don't enjoy playing, everybody hates me and the situation. And it looks horrendous. Mm. I guarantee you his teammates are not happy. His teammates probably want to win. Unless they're kind of just like, hey, you know what? Season's over. We're kind of good right now. Jimmy, you do your thing, man. You've been cool to us. We'll support you.
So you think next team that grabs him, if they do, a little bit of a lipstick on a pig type situation?
Totally. I think it's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be like, if he were to go to the Rockets, that'd be fun. If he were to go to the Warriors, that'd be fun. If he were to go to, you know, I know OKC wouldn't. If he were to go to the Sixers, that would be fun. Not for me. I would hate watching that. But I know he can, like when he really, 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 really gets into it, you know, if he were to really take a look at it himself, I know he believes, just like Russell Westbrook believes, like, I'm that guy. I can make it happen. I can do it. And maybe it's a little bit more relevant for Jimmy just because, you know, he's a smart, crafty guy. I don't know what his defensive abilities are anymore. It's been 2 years since I've seen it. I don't know what his abilities are to take over. You know, it's really easy to look great in a preseason game and in the regular season.
Since you saw that firsthand, dog. Yeah.
Where was he last year? Nowhere to be found. Sitting his ass on the bench. Pat Riley making fun of him in street clothes. You know, it's really nice if the guy that's talking all that shit would actually step on the court and say something about it. You know, like, yeah. It would be awesome if he were to be a main piece again. But I'm so sick and tired of like the yapping without plan and the yapping with nothing to show for it. You know, he does it once in the regular season, has a decent game, and it's like, here I am, guys, you're welcome. I won you a regular season game, now trade me. You know, it's like, man, I don't want to, like, no wonder the offers were horrible. No wonder that like Pat Riley isn't satisfied with what he's getting. It's because he's not an asset that people really want like that. Like, history is shown over and over, and these GMs are smart and they say, hey, you know, we saw you at the Sixers, we saw you at the Heat, we saw you, you know, with the Bulls, we saw you with the Wolves, you know, like, what did you really do, you know, besides with the Heat? With the Heat, you know, it's impressive, but we're removed from that now and you're still acting the same. So why would I want that for my culture? Why would I want that for my team? You know, if I'm trying to progress young guys, unless I'm the Warriors, which in that case you're trying to get the most out of Steph and Draymond, you know, why would I really want that? You know, is it putting butts in seats? I mean, maybe a little bit. You know, is it elevating my playoff chances? I mean, maybe as much as I'm putting butts in seats, like maybe it gets me 5% further along, maybe. Do I think any of the teams looking to trade him are 5% away? No. You know, the teams that are 5% away have a squad that looks really great the way it's constructed and probably won't make many changes. You know, I look at the Cavs, I look at the Celtics, I look at the Rock or the Thunder. Those are like the big three to me right now. Maybe the Knicks, maybe. And then I look in the West and it's kind of a crapshoot. You know, you kind of close your eyes and you say, okay, who's that second best team in the West? I don't know. But do I think any of them are a Jimmy Butler away from beating the Thunder or taking care of it? I can't say that I'm confident in that at all.
It's a good rundown.
What do you think?
I am, as a Jimmy Butler fan, as a fan of takeover elite level basketball in the playoffs, I think Jimmy deserves a second perspective on this. I am a year removed from being full board Jimmy Butler, and I do think that his struggles to do this consistently every year mean something, right? We can't just gloss over that. I do think, just sort of to play devil's advocate here, I think that Jimmy's being sort of dealt a hand, and I think we are, as a community and as a member of the media and as an NBA and just an NBA community at large, we are doing the thing where we pile on to the topical news of the day because it's easy. For example, Jimmy was just in the finals 2 years ago, and all was still good in Miami. And now it's a year and a half removed from that. Right? I mean, we'll call it 2 years ago, but it's a year and a half removed in terms of number of games played. Best season in, you know, now October through January of the following season, where, you know, he hasn't been there. And now, oh, what the heck, Jimmy? Right? We're confused at why he is or isn't at this next stage. So I think there's a little bit of grace warranted based on that, simply that. Then I think we take a step back and we look at the comment or comments, and I think you're right for this. Again, I'm just sort of playing devil's advocate here to say, is this a fair and honest assessment of the situation? But, you know, you made the comment, and I've heard it elsewhere, that Jimmy is, what is it? You were talking about Pat Riley being similar, saying Jimmy's done this everywhere he's gone. Has he? And what exactly are we calling out when we say he's done this everywhere he's gone, right? When he was with the Bulls, he was upset because they were gobshite and he didn't want to be there. And I think that's a perfectly respectable reason to stand up for yourself and get yourself to a situation where you have a chance at the end goal, which is winning a championship. So he stood up for himself. It was the same thing with D-Wade. That's why he had to sit on the Bulls too. And so, you know, we don't look at, obviously within context, we look at it and we say, well, Jimmy's done this here. But when we look at it contextually for the Bulls, we see that, well, it was relevant. There wasn't a reason for him to still be there. And it happened with another player who we look at as a historical winner and a you know, an elite all-time player. And so they both called out, this locker room is dysfunctional. This head coaching staff, this front office staff is dysfunctional. We don't want to be here. And so they moved on from him. Minnesota, I mean, it's been documented. Look at the players they're playing with. Players, a cat up until the last couple of years, who have historically had issues with their ability to play winning and serious basketball in their careers. Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns. We saw with Andrew Wiggins, I know he was going through something with his your father or grandpa. I can't remember who they. I think it was his dad who passed away. But you know, just a general sense of, you know, a lack of care about the NBA game, and Jimmy didn't want to be there. Philadelphia. I'm not justifying his not wanting to be there and wanting to be out so quickly. I understand that. Hey, you know, most players don't do that, or at least have the liberty to do that. Obviously, Jimmy wasn't on, you know, long-term contracts for any of these. Philadelphia, he wanted to be there. They didn't want to sign him. He was out. So realistically, it was only the Timberwolves who he asked out of because of the situation. Bulls sort of asked him to leave and said, we don't want you back, so which is why they traded him. And the Wolves is really only that situation. And now we're seeing Miami do it. And, I mean, they haven't put together a winning team around him for, you know, multiple years now. Again, he dragged some of these teams to where they are, but none of them have ever put up crazy regular season numbers. And I think that's my thought on when you put context to these situations, that's actually what it looks like. Going back to the point about everyone piling on because it's easy, everyone's piling on with, oh yeah, wait, no, Jimmy, we're out on him. He's complaining. Look at all the places he's done this. And it's like, the dude's just been in two finals in the last 5 years with this Heat team. Like, that's a legit accomplishment. And it's just, it's totally easy to dogpile Jimmy now because of a situation when we're not looking at what he's done there. And one final note I want to say is that when you look at this Heat team and Jimmy in general, Jimmy, you're not doing enough for us in the regular season. You're the reason we're in this position. Is that true? Has Jimmy ever been a guy where the identity of the team was built around him and him putting up 30 points in the regular season for a squad? That has never been who Jimmy is. And so I don't understand why the expectation is that he does this. I think our expectation, because we know who he is in the playoffs, is, Jimmy, you have to be this, because this is our frame of reference. This is our context as basketball fans for what it means to be this dude playing in the regular season. What that means is then you are a piece in the regular season. If you're doing this in the postseason at this level, then you're a piece in the regular season who puts up this points, who puts the team on your back. And so because we don't have an example of a player like this, we ascribe him to that role, and that's just not who he is. And so do you say, well, that's not who he is, you should be that guy, you're wrong for that? Or do you just say, hey, this is who he is, the team needs to be better, they're not putting a better team around him, and you could say that some of that's his fault based on what I just explained, or not?
Yeah.
And now he wants out because of the situation.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. I feel like I can, because you know, these guys aren't inspired to play. Like, dude, there's free agents every year. Like, which of these guys are wanting to say, like, hey, I want to go play with Jimmy? You know, like, I want to go bust my ass in the regular season to cover for a guy who's making the majority of the cap, so that we can get a good seed so he can try to turn up in the playoffs. Like if you look at the last probably 10, 12, 15 years of playoffs history, as, and maybe that's the theme of this episode for me, you know, history repeats itself. Every single championship team, the number one guy on that team was either drafted or was one move away from that team, right? Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, that's the one that I think of where it's like he had one move to the Raptors from the Spurs who drafted him, and he won the chip. Everybody else, you know, you look at Jokic, you look at Tatum, you look at Giannis, you look at Tim Duncan, you look at, you know, I'm bouncing around here. You look at Kobe, you look at, you know, Paul Pierce, you look at, you know, you look at Stephen Curry, right? You look at LeBron, and then obviously to the Heat, you know, that's one move, and then back to the Cavs, you know, that's another move, and then, you know, to the Lakers, you got him three times, right?
You're doing some good math over there.
And LeBron is like the one X factor, and Jimmy is not a LeBron. Jimmy is no LeBron. Jimmy wants to be treated like, hey, give me the pieces. I demand the pieces, you know, because I deserve them.
Has he ever said that, though?
Isn't that what he's doing every single year? Why don't the
their team sucks?
Why do you think the Sixers chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler?
Couldn't tell you. Why do you think they did?
Because Jimmy, every single time, is super dramatic, makes a big deal about, hey, either I don't want to play here, I don't have the pieces, or whatever. And he didn't contribute enough to their success, right? They made the Eastern Conference Finals, and he was not good. Yeah. Like, he was not the second best guy in that series. And they took a look, and it's exactly kind of what they did with Karl Anthony Towns, where they took a look and they're like, we don't believe we can win with you, you know. And whether that was a mistake or not, you know, maybe Jimmy just needed his own team, and being in the shadow of Embiid always was never going to work out. But there's a purpose for the reason they did that, you know, like, I wouldn't
hold that against Jimmy, though.
I wouldn't hold it against Jimmy either, but I would also say, like, if Jimmy had proven to be that guy that he was with that Heat team, and he was able to say, hey, you know, Embiid's the guy, but I'm going to do my best. If Jimmy were to play like Heat Jimmy, you know, with the opportunity he was given in Philly, I'm very confident that Philly team could have been really good. You know, Embiid was at the peak of his powers.
I mean, he was there for a season, or like a half season, whatever it was.
Yeah, but they didn't sign him back. They didn't take him back. They didn't want him back.
Yeah, I mean, that's, nope. I don't put that on Jimmy. How is that
I mean, they had a whole half season. I mean, they got him
for a reason. No, but we're talking about examples.
Said, we want to move on.
We're talking about examples where Jimmy was complaining or Jimmy did something, and so I'm saying.
So we have the Heat, we have the Bulls, and now we have the Wolves. He was dramatic with the Heat, with the Bulls. You know, he and D Wade. And it was warranted with D Wade, because D Wade's like, hey, I know what winning looks like. I know what it takes. Let me get somewhere. You know, I'm at the end of my career. Let me get somewhere where I feel like Jimmy can win.
And we've seen it. He knows what winning takes, and he knows what it looks like. So,
not when he was with the. I mean, like, do you, like, the best players in the league? Like, did Jokic say that? Did Giannis say that? Did, you know, like, all of these guys that built something great Like, is Anthony Edwards saying that right now? Yes. But is he saying, gotcha, hey, get me out? No.
So what you're after is the fact that he's dramatic, and the fact that he's public with statements like this, you just don't like that.
Team. Like, we see it every single time, you know? Yeah. You're a detriment not only to your teammates, you're just calling everybody out and you're saying, hey, this isn't good enough. And how does that make his team feel?
Yeah,
you know, have you ever been on a team where a guy blames everybody else but themselves and says, woe is me, I'm the victim here, I'm the best guy here, but nobody else is doing anything to help me? Like, that LeBron. Is so toxic. That is so, MJ. I'm saying, have you personally ever been on a team? You know, like, that just makes you feel like if you're a key role player, if you're a piece of this, and your best player, your leader, is dogging on the culture and you and the coach and everything like that and the team, it's like, why would I want to play for a guy like that?
Yeah, no, you know, I get
that. Why would I ever want that in my locker room if I am Steph Curry and Draymond Green? Why am I ever going to want that in a, like, why would I ever listen to a guy, you know, who's done this to multiple teams? Like, geez, like, I'm on the chopping block, you know, on my own team. Like,
well,
geez.
I think what's important here is the fact that he doesn't just do it because he wants to be an asshole. And I think that's the image that is being portrayed, is that Jimmy just likes to do this and cause trouble. Like, he's playing. Looking at the evidence of what's transpired over the course of his career, I'm inclined to believe that Jimmy does this when he's in a situation with players who don't care, or an organization that doesn't understand where they're going.
But he doesn't care either. He's not playing in the regular season. He's taking games off. He's not even, like, when he's on the court, he's barely on the court. It's like, dude,
yeah.
Like, how can you blame everybody else but yourself? And then look at your game logs and put that all up. I would get it if he's Nikola Jokic in that thing, you know, where it's like, man, yeah. I'm putting up 40s. I'm putting up triple doubles. I'm busting my ass night in and night out. I'm not taking games off. I am trying my hardest, and we just don't have it. If that's so, the case.
So where does he go? Where do we go from here?
It's Mexico.
So it's M-E-X-I-C.
Dude, give him to the Warriors, man.
You think so?
I don't know if it does. Honestly, you know, what I was thinking about is if they could somehow get Fox and Jimmy to the Spurs.
You'd like that?
That would be a sweet team. And that would compete. Chris Paul, De'Aaron Fox, Wemby, Jimmy
CP,
Butler.
Bro, stop. That guy was a liability in the prime of his career in terms of those number ratios that I was outlining earlier. Forget about it now, dude. Oh my gosh. He's like a worse LeBron because he's so small.
Quit.
ISO offense.
All NBA first team.
Team offense, solid.
Mr. ISO All defense. NBA defensive first team.
Oh, he's so
you
bad.
You don't like
dude.
It?
He's so bad.
That
guy literally can't stop a bloody nose. Oh,
dude,
my gosh.
If LeBron can't, how's Chris Paul going to do it? They're the same damn age. But yeah. The thing is, you have the best defensive player in the league, remember? So it don't matter. And D-Fox is decent. Right? Jimmy Butler, from what I hear, is supposed to be pretty good at defense himself. So should be all right, right? I mean, you got Jeremy Sohan as well. If there was like a three-way, like picks to the Heat, you know, Vassell or Castle, something like that, to the Kings plus another asset, I feel like that could be pretty fair. You know, if you gave up like a good first, like some of those picks they have, I don't know if you've taken a look at how many picks they have, but they have assets on assets.
Spurs are in a great
spot. And so, yeah, I mean, like the Heat would love to have picks. They suck. You know, like if they get rid of Jimmy, like they're not, they don't have playoff hopes.
Dude,
they're going to shut down Tyler.
Their backs blown out by the Jazz today.
Okay. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Do they suck? Yeah, they're horrible. They lose to every single team in the East, plus the horrible ones in the West.
Jazz shot 41% from three. That's pretty solid.
I'd hope so. That's all they have, 3-point shooters.
Holy Bryce Sensabaugh, dude. 34 tonight. Oh my gosh.
Beast. Up and comer. Send him, was that in the G League? I was playing. Congrats on. I don't even know how many.
Time to go put in a waiver claim on that dude.
Players. Oh boy.
put all my fab on him.
I put 20 on. Who'd I put 20 on yesterday? Kennard?
Bro, stop.
I know you wanted him. You want all the Grizz bench guys that don't get any minutes. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see where Jimmy ends up. I just love trade season so much. And somebody said it. I don't know who did it. It might have been Bill. But it's like, dude, like trades have become way harder to do. And it feels like there's not as many trades in the NBA as there used to be. Like kind of when I was in my prime growing up with the NBA, where it was kind of just like super fun to see random players go random places. And open it would season. All just mix up. I want to see more of that. You know, that's so fun to me, you know, and yeah. That's something the NBA definitely has over the NFL, where you have midseason trades. Things that can completely shake up a season that are so unexpected that just happen at the drop of a dime, and it's just go do it. Good luck. Mm-hmm. You know, have fun. Mm-hmm. Make it happen. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. And they killed that. That's something that I gripe with the NBA. It's like, man, if you knew your product well enough, like you would know people love that. Maybe not casual fans, you know, so much. You know, it's kind of like, oh, who do I got on the Lakers now? Dorian Finney-Smith. I never heard of him, you know. But if they hear Zach LaVine or if they hear someone like De'Aaron Fox in San Antonio, it's like, dude, I know that guy. I'm hyped for this guy. Let's get it. You know, this is going to be awesome. I'm psyched about our team, like all of that stuff. But
yeah,
when was the last time a star was traded midseason? And dude, do we call Bradley Beal a star?
No, it's been a bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the last one. When was the last star that was traded midseason? Dude, Boogie.
Boogie. Yeah, I just to get back to the Jimmy talk, I think he could be an asset to any team. I think if we look at this in you know, take sort of a 30,000 foot view, the question is Jimmy still a viable player in the playoffs? And I think the answer is unequivocally yes. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty, so we'll assume that he's capable. Last year,
what about Kawhi?
Last year he didn't play.
Does Kawhi get the pass too?
Yeah, dude.
Kawhi he's innocent until proven guilty.
Kawhi gets the pass, dude. He's had the pass for 8 years. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting. So at that point, it's just a question of who can acquire him, right? Which of these contenders can acquire him, and which of these contenders have the regular season sort of bones
capabilities
to make the playoffs? Because right. That's what Jimmy's not going to add to your team. You know, he's not going to.
Regular season games. He's just
not a game built for that. Yeah, very two-point oriented, slow the game down kind of a thing. And there's going to be a little bit of a bump when that trade goes through, right? Like how it goes with everyone, you know, new face on the block. So he's going to want to impress the teacher, and it's going to be, you know, kumbaya. So I think a team that trades for him is actually a real threat if he's still that guy in the playoffs, which again, we're going to assume for the sake of this that he is. So I'm actually very interested. I don't think there's a bad fit for him.
There's not a bad fit for him?
No, I don't think so. I think if a team as it stands has the ability to make the conference finals, which maybe six per conference, five or six per conference, we would say that about. I think if any of those teams added him, we'd be like, or we should be, you know, eyes up, on guard for what this team can do in the long run. I mean, name a team. You throw them on the Bucks. Throw them on the Magic. You throw them on a full healthy Magic.
Okay. The Magic competent? Don't need him. I wouldn't start Jimmy on the Magic.
All right. You throw him on the Knicks right now. You throw him on the Celtics. You throw him on the Cavs. You throw him on the Bucks.
Who is he starting over on any of these teams?
Come on, bro. In the playoffs,
he's not starting over
Jaylen
Brown.
Jimmy's their best player in the playoffs on any of these.
Not
teams.
On the Celtics. Not on the Knicks.
Yeah,
not on the. No. No. I'm a Celtics fan. I don't want him on the Celtics. He dyed his hair green recently. That scared me. I do not want Jimmy anywhere near the Boston
Celtics.
Dude,
you're racist, dog.
My favorite player is black, so I can't be.
Light
so,
skin.
You're right. I don't think he starts on the Knicks. I don't think he adds
okay.
To
okay,
what
we gotta
doing.
Stop with this. We gotta stop with the Knicks, or sorry, this whole start thing. Like, dude's getting legit minutes. He's starting on any of these teams. They're gonna.
He's not starting on the Knicks. He's not starting on the Boston Celtics. He's
dude,
not
he's
starting on the
any of those teams. What are we talking
Who
about?
Who is he starting over on the Celtics?
Any of
he's
them?
Not Jaylen Brown. Not Jason Tatum. Not Derek White. Not Drew Holiday. And not Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah,
he's
if
not
you ask him to buy into the offense, if you ask him to buy into the offense, he'd be just fine.
Yeah, where he has to pass the ball to Jason Tatum the entire time? I don't think so.
I promise you he would be.
He wouldn't start. Who is he starting over then? Any of them? No.
Yeah, you literally put him over any of them.
This is getting crazy. No.
Dude, with the Cavs, I think he'd be legit.
Yeah, actually, they need a decent three, I think, right now.
That'd be awesome. They have a
sliding door of Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro, Caris LeVert. Take your poison. Jeez, I mean, he'd be good.
If Jimmy went there, you could just slam that sliding door shut on the rest of the
league. That's also, like, you brought up a good point. Like, Jimmy has never, ever once been like, hey, let me buy into this offense. Has he? He's like, no, let's do it.
Well, he doesn't really come to a team with anything. He did with the Sixers, and it got him a playoff exit.
He lost on the final shot of the game to the team that won the chip. It was the closest he's ever come to winning a chip.
Yeah, but he was closer than
all those finals plays.
He was definitely on defer mode in the Sixers.
As he should have been.
In the Sixers scheme. He's not good. I don't know. We'll never find out.
If he was good or not, I can tell you. That brother was cheeks. But, I mean, that's the closest he's come to winning a chip. You know, losing by, on the last second to a team that won. That was closer than him getting slammed by the Lakers and the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe defer mode is best for him. You know, maybe one time that he did buy into the offense.
All right. I'm not going to hear this Jimmy slander anymore. Let's move over to the Bulls. They got a couple guys could be on the move, could help out some teams. So Levine's been around in trade talks for the last, I don't know what, 2-3 years. Vucevic is on the block, or should be on the block. Any landing destinations for either of those two?
Anywhere for Vucevic. The Suns particularly, which they can never do because they have slammed their cap already.
Dude, Vuce is basically just Nurk or DA. The guy literally doesn't play defense. Than Nurk. He's better than Nurk, but he doesn't play defense.
DA sucks too.
So that literally just contributes to what the problem that you just outlined is for the Suns.
Yes, you have to lean into it. You haven't constructed your lineup in a way that's possible for, like, if you got one good big, doesn't work. It won't work. I promise it won't work. So you just got to lean into what it is. You know, you just have a bunch of offense. You have a big that can pass. Nurk cannot pass. You have a big that can pass in Vucevic. You have a big that can hit threes. And then you just know, hey, on the defensive end, they're
going to push the pace,
and it's open season. It doesn't matter if you're a big, a guard. It does not matter at all.
They're just gifting stuff.
It does not matter. So, yeah, for Vucevic, like, where would I want to see him play? Like, who needs a good scoring big that doesn't play defense?
Bro, send him to Shanghai, dog. I don't want to watch that.
Minnesota. Minnesota is the obvious answer. You get Randall the hell out of there.
Yo, Randall for Vooch, who says no?
Well, no, it would be like Randall for Vooch plus Ayo Dosunmu. They won't do that, but, you know, something like that. You know, a really good key piece as well. And you just gut out the Bulls, and then you say, okay, Randall going forward. You know, our team sucks, our market sucks, you know. Like, we're just back to the same old Bulls.
And the same old bullshit.
You know, like, yeah, like, I don't know what they were trying with DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Vucevic. That did not work, and it's time to
tell you what, they weren't trying. They were shooting for the worst.
They were trying.
Worst team.
They were trying. The worst team to watch, that's for sure.
No, it's because they didn't have Zoe. He's the glue.
100. Gut the team out, just have 5 Zoes out on the floor.
Can you believe they tried to send out that propaganda for a little bit?
It's because Lonzo wasn't blamed. He would have made this team fit. Stop it.
Dude, pair Lonzo and Randall up again, both in from New Orleans and the
Lonzo
Lakers.
Ball, the guy who gets 15 minutes a game right now, come on.
Goat. That's my goat. He's ramping up, as they say.
Oh,
he's ramping up.
Trying to tell me this guy's the difference maker.
Playoff games, bro. Just wait till he gets in a playoff game. He'll turn it on. You've never seen it, though. He's just like Jimmy.
What do we think about LaVine on the Lake? You know what? I honestly don't even want to talk about the Lakers. You could add Michael Jordan in his prime. You could add Super Saiyan Michael Jordan, and he's not helping the Lakers, dude.
I would like to see LaVine on the Hawks instead of that ricochet spot. He fits their brand of basketball.
Yeah, you're so in on just buy into this. Just double down on this. You know, you like Vooch over to the Suns. Oh yeah, if they don't play defense, we'll just send him Vooch.
But they fit the timeline, the culture, and like what they're aiming for right now, whether they want to or not. You know, one guy's not going to switch. You know, putting Zach LaVine on. What's a horrible offense? Like, putting Zach LaVine on the Magic is not going to switch. Oh, God.
LaMelo!
Oh, my God. putting Zach LaVine on the Magic is not going to just instantly change their scoring ability.
Are you out of your God-picking mind? That was the OKC guy. Remember that? That was so awesome. I'm clipping that.
I loved that clip.
And Westbrook is out of his cotton-picking mind. Yeah, that was a wild.
But yeah, one big is not going to change the Suns. One score is not going to change the Magic or the Rockets, right? Like, the Rockets would love a guy like Zach LaVine. He's not changing everything. You know, no guy that you can trade for like that is going to change everything at all. So you might as well, you would be more effective sending Zach LaVine to a team like the Hawks to double down on what they already have set. Because he's not a changer, he's just an adder. So if you have Zachary Richechet, so you know he would be great coming off the bench. You know, he pretty much comes off the bench anyway because DeAndre Hunter gets the majority of the time. But like, you have many heat check scorers. Trae Young, Zach LaVine, DeAndre Hunter. Are you kidding me? That would be awesome. Can you not envision like a world where that's actually like a pretty solid, like one of the biggest things in the playoffs is like ISO scoring is difficult, and that's pretty much what it is. You know, you're not going to get a lot of points in transition. You're not going to get a lot of points pushing the pace and running out. You know, we saw that last year with how the Pacers played against the Celtics. Like, it just doesn't work. You know, so can you get more players of that caliber that can kind of help an idea that you already have set? And that's just more like, that just frees up more space for a guy like Trae Young, because, you know, Trae Young, let's shut you down with our best, you know, guard defender. Let's let Zach LaVine go to work. You know, let's have Dyson Daniels play the three.
That's a good point. He's capable. I think I could be interested in that.
I think the Hawks would be a good team in the East too if that were to happen. I think they're a good team in the East now.
Yeah, what comes to mind is, what does placing the ball in LaVine's hands do? Take away from, again, that idea of things being additive, and what LaVine would be doing in place of what could be being done if he wasn't added there or if he didn't have the ball in his hands.
What could be being done?
And it sounds, no, I think that's a fair landing spot, and I don't think he would really take away from what it is they're trying to do on offense. You know, he's taking from maybe some minimal attempts that guys like Richechet or Daniels are having, but those guys don't want to be distributing. They don't want to be facilitating. So I think it,
well, Zach LaVine won't be facilitating either. Zach LaVine is just going to be catching the ball.
He'll be facilitating his own sheet. Yeah.
He is Michael Porter Jr. 2.0 on that team.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. And yeah, Vooch, I don't really care. We could skip him. He should play for the Sharks. I'll sign him. Dude, I'll literally
San Jose,
give you,
by the way. Shanghai.
I'll cover your agent face, one. Bro. Get over there.
I want to see you put up 150 points in a game in a Chinese.
Okay, what do the Rockets do? Maybe this gets into sort of our favorite segment, GM mode.
Right.
So yeah, right. Maybe we just bump this over
can you introduce
this.
What GM mode is?
Yeah, so GM mode is, I hand you the keys to this team. What are you doing now, today? What are you implementing today that is going to help this team in the long run? And it could be short-term, you know, short-term fix with a long-term aim. Could be, you know, sort of long-term scheming. But what is it that you're going to do to set this team up for success?
Perfect. So,
and so it's GM mode Rockets. Right. What are you doing when, if I hand you the keys to the Rockets today?
So the Rockets, I mean, first things first, they're in a super, super interesting position where they have a lot of draft capital. They have a lot of assets that are tradable, and they don't have a lot of guys on major, major max contracts. You also have a couple guys that don't do what you're looking for, but you're still overachieving. You're ahead of schedule. You're young. You've identified some very talented pieces that you want to keep around for a long time, i.e. Şengün and Cam Whitmore, I would say. Amen Thompson. Like, these are guys that have more value to your team than anything you could probably trade for them, which is, like, you know, you take a look around the league and they're like, Amen Thompson, you know, I'll give you, like, a second and a third, you know? And it's like, hell no. You know, like, give me Amen Thompson every day of the week. Oh, I'll give you Amen Thompson for, you know, a good score, a good bench score. He's just a bench guy for you. It's like, no. Like, let me keep these guys, right? Cam Whitmore, same kind of deal. So, you know, as a team who is typically ahead of schedule, you kind of have a fork in the road. You can either compete with what you have and kind of see what you're going to get, or you can kind of switch some pieces around. This is kind of like your middle of the two. Like, you can kind of move some pieces, but not go completely balls to the wall, get rid of everything, bring in everything that you can to try to compete against a team like the Thunder or whoever else might come out of the West. Or the last option is kind of just like, build the pieces, maybe switch some guys out that you know that aren't going to be long term. Like, in my opinion, you know, a guy like Fred VanVleet, a guy like Jayshon Tate, like, time to pack, you know. Maybe even a guy like Jalen Green, like Jalen Green really, really wants to be a premier number one on this team. It's so clear by the shot attempts. It's so clear about how, when the play is not designed for him, how disengaged he is. It's clear by the level of defense engagement he has. And it's, he's just not built for a team.
That, with that team and that coach.
He starts. And Ime...
Ime won't play Chef, dude. And Jalen's starting. They're literally the same player. I mean, Jalen's a gifted scorer, but like you said, doesn't play...
Jalen can definitely score at a high NBA level, but like, that's not what you're looking for in this team. You know, like, you want a guy that can both score and play make. Fred VanVleet is kind of like a... he's like a Band-Aid on like a deep cut. You know, you want a guy that can create his own shot and create shots for others. Fred VanVleet is not that guy. Neither is Jalen Green. You really want to pair a backcourt like a DeJounte Murray and a big scorer. Obviously, that didn't work out the best in Atlanta, but I believe with DeJounte and a different type of piece, not like a, you know, Hawks Trae Young type where he's putting up logo threes 20 seconds into the shot clock. You know, like, guys that can play the right way under Ime Udoka, who can play defense, offense, who can play both sides of the court, who understand the game at a high intelligence level. And then you have, like, and then you have your guys like Şengün that'll be consistent. You have your guys like Thompson that'll be consistent, you know, at what they're good at, right? So, you know, it's so easy to look at somebody like, you know, DeMar DeRozan and think like, okay, gifted scorer. Isn't going to really like he's an ISO guy and kind of takes a lot of possessions away. But like what other possessions would I be getting? Would I be getting Jalen Green pull up threes and him just sitting in the corner otherwise? And Fred VanVleet walk into threes where he's just kind of doing dribble handoffs and some pick and roll stuff. Like, is that the guy that I really want running all of that? Like, to me, that's a no. So what can I go get? Can I go get somebody like, you know, like a De'Aaron Fox? Like, said it so many times, right? Like, it's super relevant right now because his team's out of the playoffs. He's had some, you know, controversies with the coach and the firing. And I think like Spurs, Rockets, ironic Texas teams, you know, like right next to each other. Like, if I were the Rockets, I would be trying to put in every offer to go get that guy and get the Spurs. Hey, I'll give you Jalen Green and I'll give you a couple of my picks and get us Fox right now. You know,
yeah, dude, they definitely would have a Red Rocket or a Fox.
That should be like a mascot of theirs, no? Or the dude, they are the Red Rockets. You know, they literally should, that should be their like team's fan base, the Red Rockets.
So if you're GM in mode, you're getting off contracts like Fred VanVleet. Are you just waving these guys, Fred VanVleet?
No. You're trying to get 80 cents on the dollar. I mean, you have to first identify which way you're going. To me, I mean, for this exercise, and what I think is more fun is, hey, I'm a 2 seed, a 3 seed, or a 4 seed this year. Dude, like, why can't we compete both short and long term? You know, the Warriors have done that. You know, why can't we follow that kind of model where we get guys that are consistently healthy and good to pair with our outstanding coach, our star player for right now that never gets hurt, who plays, can play 80 games in a season, get you your entire team involved, and get some guys that can really elevate this roster. And if it doesn't happen this year because the Thunder are really good, I know for a fact we're going to be in the conversation next year. And in free agency, people are going to look at the Rockets and be like, oh, they need what I have if I'm a star. And then it's like, okay, you know, they have the cap space, they have the draft capital, you know, whatever it might be. I know me signing there is going to be a major bump to that team, so why can't I go ring chase again? You know?
Okay, I like that. I'm going to take this a different way. I think what's interesting is these teams find themselves in a great position. It's always the same thing. Some of these teams are spunky. Well, I shouldn't say that. I literally just caught myself being an idiot. So it's typically the teams that are young and spunky and defensive and long and versatile. Those are the ones where you start to see, we have some here.
Grizzlies, you look Thunder.
At the Pacers, yeah, you look at the Pacers, completely opposite, right? Just jacking up points, they don't care.
Push the
they,
pace.
They do the antithesis of play D. So Magic. But yeah, in general, the rule applies. I think what's happening is the Rockets don't have their guy. And that sounds obvious. And so you say, well, Austin, why call that out? What does that mean? Well, I think if I'm the Rockets GM, I actually choked last year. I'm firing myself and I'm rehiring myself in the past.
Giving yourself a raise as a promise. To be better.
I think they made a mistake. And what needs to be fixed is we need to say, you guys, we need a tank. We need to go get our guy. We don't have our guy yet. And we're tricking ourselves into thinking we're good because we're spunky, because we're fun, because we're solid on defense. And you're doing it with the surrounding role player talent that you're cultivating on this team. And these guys are young, so you're going to end up doing this, and you're going to be able to do this over the course of the 82-game season better than another team could, which is why you find yourself in a place where you're competitive. And so I hate to say I'm advocating for the tank, but just go get your guy. Just go get your dude who's your cornerstone.
So how do you tank?
Go, just literally don't sign Jalen Green. Don't sign Fred VanVleet. Just let these guys go out there and play. Just I mean, all right, we can get into trades, but let me finish this thought and I'll get back to Jalen Green. Remind me, I'm going to get in Cooper, right? Like, and by the time Flag's ready and he's developed, I got Amen, I got Tari, I got Şengün, who's better.
But you can't guarantee, first, you can't guarantee Cooper. Two, you're already good.
I know, but there's guys down there. There's guys in the draft.
What would you say to a De'Aaron Fox, though? Is De'Aaron Fox a guy? Because I feel like right now he's up and coming.
But here's the thing. Here's why what I'm saying is critical, and here's why I think we're looking at this wrong. You did the tank wrong because you just invested a two-year contract, a two-year with an option for, I think it's a team option for Jalen Green. You already know you're out on it. Like, he's not the dude. And so if you're the Rockets, how do you get trade leverage with that? You don't. You decided to commit to somebody when you knew he wasn't going to be who you should have in your future. And I get the idea. Well, they were just testing the waters. They were just seeing what they had. Then they can go, you know, in a couple of years and actually sign the guys they want. Well, it's like, well, you got to be hot with these guys quick. You got to know, like, this isn't the dude for us. And so I think they're just missing that dude. And I think they're trying to ride this early timeline, and they're tricking themselves into a guy like a Jalen Green. Like, Jalen Green's viable because he has the defensive presence of the rest of his team, because it's an overall solid squad. And so they're tricking themselves into a guy like Jalen Green when he's not your future. And as soon as you remove a guy like him off your roster, what he's actually providing in terms of a scoring punch is huge to what the Rockets are doing right now. Like, I actually think Jalen Green's pretty vital because of that scoring punch that he's able to offer them. You take him off the team, this team is in shambles, even though we don't look at a guy like Jalen Green and we think he's good. But you guys are paying him and you're allowing him to take up a spot so that you can't go get a better pick. So you're like, you're basically like locking yourself into the present because you want to pay that guy and because you want to play him and you want to be solid. And so you're unable to sort of move into a place where you're officially getting the guy who's going to take you into the next level, even though we all know Jalen Green isn't that dude. So it's like,
right. You can't draft him and then know that he's earned a second contract, at least in the short term, but then also give him away for nothing. That's a huge asset that you would just be taking an L on that would get you fired as a GM. I think there's something like super relevant about like how the NBA works. And like,
you can trade him for a couple pieces. Right. I'm obviously exaggerating.
But the thing is, like, his skill set and what he could be, you know, in like the terms of, in terms of like a really heat up scorer and somebody that's a guard that can just get you buckets over and over, it's actually pretty valuable in the league. So I think what they did is they signed him. They're saying, hey, make it happen this year and we will get you to where you want to go. If it's not Houston, we don't think it will be Houston. Maybe you won't be in our plans long term. Get your bag, play your ass off, get to another team. We will get good assets in return that will help us win in the long term. And that way, it just makes sense. You know, Jalen Green's, you know, trade leverage is pretty high, I would say. You don't want to let him walk for nothing. And if, you know, if the team's good enough, you know, you like you as a GM, you don't want to just say, hey, tank it when we're good. You want to say, hey, let me like, how do the owners think I'm the shit? You know, like, let me go out and win games with a team that might not look like what it'll look next year. And imagine what we can do with seats.
Just bad GMing.
No, because you could get an elite piece. Like if you think De'Aaron Fox is the guy, or if you think there will be a guy that's like coming out in the next free agent class that is like, like where will Embiid sign? Okay, like do we think Embiid can like be that guy? You know, maybe Embiid's not a good example.
But now you have to give up real assets in the trade. We see this all the time with teams who.
No, I'm saying free agency. Free agency.
Yeah.
Like what happened with, you know, LeBron and.
I guess. Why? I'm thinking about examples like the Suns, where you got to ship out McKay. Like, you're shipping out these guys, go get KD. You know, I look at
made the finals.
Why am I totally blanking now?
Made the finals with
CT. Oh, you look at Shea. You look at the Clippers. Like, they gave up that package to the Thunder. Like, some of these teams, like, you before, yes, you have to recognize what you have. But by now already, Jalen Green isn't a trade asset. So, yes, if a guy comes in free agency, awesome. But if guy becomes available and you want to make a trade for him, well, now you have to give up real pieces, and now everybody knows who the guys on the Rockets are.
I bet you could do a Fox Jaylen. Deal He's for Jalen Green.
No way they're doing
with Jalen Green as the piece. I bet you could.
Maybe, if but you, they're going to want some combination in, of Reed. Yeah, that's Amen, what I'm saying. Tari, up, and so these are your Reed. Dudes.
Give up Reed and Jalen Green, and you have a boatload of picks. Give the Sacramento picks that they need, that they want. They're out of the playoffs anyway. Like, why would I not go try to find a piece? Like, I'm not getting the first pick. Like, it's just not going to happen, you know? And I can't bet on my season with the players that I have right now for the first pick, because you get a one in, you know, whatever chance anyway, even if you're the worst record.
Yeah.
Right? So, and there's not enough dudes in this class. You got Ace Bailey. You got Coop. I don't know whether there are more than two dudes in this class. And I don't know whether, if there's more, how long they would take to develop. Because I look at this next class and I'm like, you know, you obviously have your premier players. And then you drop quickly to like solid role players and good scorers. And maybe guys that I don't know if would help, like they would help right away. And you got guys there that are ready to compete like in the next couple of years. You know, like what are you going to tell Şengün and Amen and Tari and, you know, all of these guys and Jabari and all of these guys that are entering a period of their careers where it's like, okay, like I'm sick of waiting, you know, like my rookie contract's up. Like, really, you want to compete when you have good players on rookie contracts. And for all of these guys, this is we're going to quickly get to the point where it's like, we can't afford all of these guys. What are we going to do with Amen? You know, what are we going to do with Şengün? What are we going to do with Jabari? What are we going to do with Jalen Green? What are we going to do with, you know, whoever else it may be? So, you know, we got to take a look and see like, okay, like my job is to compete. My job is to win a chip in the most like fast track way possible. Is that possible even in the short term? Is that possible, you know, not in the short term, but maybe in the medium to long term? Like what is the soonest with what we can do to win a chip? And I would bet on, you know, getting that elite piece and one that's proven in the league as a scorer and as a playmaker, rather than one that's never played in the league and is a potential with the team that I have now.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Pelicans, you know, I cannot wait to get the first pick because I have no dudes. If I'm the Nets, you know, if I'm the Raptors, I cannot wait to get an actual dude. Because my team sucks, you know, I have no chance of making the playoffs, and I might as well just tank it up. That's what I don't get about the Bulls. It's like, why are you still trying? You're not going anywhere, and you're actually like reducing your odds of getting a really good premier player by trying in these games and not getting off your guys quicker. That should have been done like years ago. Maybe they were just like, hey, we hate Zachary Richichet, so we'll try this year. And then next year, we're going to still try because we like the eighth grade class of 2028. You know, like, what are we talking about? They must have some really good scouts over there. They must, like, know something I don't, because...
I think they do.
They have to. They're scouting way too young.
All right, folks. That was GM mode. I think we'll call it there. Yeah?
Let's call it there.
All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. And hopefully we have a show out. Yeah, middle of next week.
Middle of next week.